live, man?
Where'd you grow up? I grew up in Nelson, in top of the South Island, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was there for the majority of my schooling years, or all of my schooling years, actually. A little place called Stoke, so it's like a little suburb of Nelson. So went to high school there, played rugby for all those years out of those ways.
Union or league?
Union. Yeah. There's no real league down in the South Island of New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, it's where I kicked about as a young attacker.
I actually been to Nelson, man. It's actually quite nice there. Hey? Yeah. It's right at the top of the South Island.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where John and stuff's
from,
hey?
Yeah, well, that's how I know John. Yeah, I went to school with John.
Man, small world, eh?
Yeah, I've known John since I was fucking 12 years old. So.
I think I saw a photo of you guys when you were super young. I thought that was so funny, man.
Yeah, we kick back. Oh, that's for years, mate. Yeah,
that's good, man. So,
stories.
So was it rugby like the main sport you played as a kid?
Yeah. Oh, I played soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, to start with when I was in primary school. But that was like pushed upon me by parents to get me to do something, and then jumped into the rugby side of things when I was at. When I went to high school.
Yeah, sick, man. And was a natural progression because obviously, did you go to the army straight after high school or did you work for a bit?
Nah, so I left high school before the end of, what do you call it over here, year 12?
Yeah.
Or which is year 13. I don't know, it's weird how it works, but it's the same. So I didn't actually finish that year, so I didn't finish, well, obviously I didn't finish school. So jumped into a job in the airport. Like baggage handling, which was actually ended up being really good. I got some good benefits with Air New Zealand, so that was nice. I got to travel around New Zealand to catch up with my mates that had gone to uni. So, that was good. And then did 2 years in that role, and then ended up finding myself in the army somehow.
When you say somehow, what do you mean by that? Like you just kind of like, were you thinking about it for a while, or was it just like a?
It was just like a. I'm like that. I got a decision. If I make a decision, like I usually just push through with it and see what happens. So I was kind of didn't see the airport role going like very far and as much of a progression. So, you know, I came across a couple of adverts on the internet as you do. Signed up, did my fitness test, and 2 months later I was gone out of my hometown.
Yeah, right. So it was pretty quick, right?
Oh man, like by the time I think I signed up in April. Oh, no, mate, yeah, April, and I think I was gone in July.
Wow.
Yeah, April, May, June, yeah. So about 2 or 3 months I was gone.
And you were training consistently throughout this time, like physical training?
Yeah, but like with no real intention. I was just going to the gym. I'd always go hard at the gym. So like my sessions were always like, you know, I wouldn't say it was like bodybuilding. It was like just like functional isolation training. So like a lot of, you know, high repetition deadlifts, but moving between sets really, really quickly. That's where I get the functional word from. I don't know. It's pretty much like bodybuilding, but like high intensity bodybuilding. But quicker, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't want to, I wasn't trying to get like fucking Ronnie Coleman size. I enjoyed just that type of training.
Yeah. What got you into the gym, like physical training, bodybuilding, or weight training?
So as a rugby player in New Zealand, like, you know, you need to be able to match the bigger guys. And I'm being a smaller guy, height-wise, I was, obviously not at that strength set as a lot of the other players. So I needed to do something. So, got into the gym, kind of off my own back. As well as that, I wasn't that coordinated. Like, I was quite an uncoordinated person. I didn't have, like, a natural ability, like a lot of my friends did, but I didn't. So I really went out and had to work for it. So even if that was going for runs, going to the gym, working on skills, like I had to really make a conscious effort to go to the gym. And then I started to see results and saw that transfer over into, you know, my sports and my abilities, and it just kept me going.
Were you doing your own programming? Were you learning from someone at that time when you first started?
A lot of my programming came from online. So I wasn't like following, I'd never really followed a program. It was more like I see something online and I take a bit of that, and then found out what worked for me. And as I got to know my body more, got to know like what food put in made me feel good and perform well, like I adjusted my training around, you know, things I'd found on the internet, and then whether it was nutrition or fitness wise, I'd adjust to to make it suit for myself.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Like you were always on the front foot or always doing the work yourself and like
yeah.
being inquisitive, right?
Yeah.
And just learning
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it all started. Like I didn't have a coach or anything like that. Yeah. It was just, you know, there's a lot of information on the internet. And I think if you are driven enough and interested enough, you can utilize that information to your own benefit
yeah. like,
quite successfully.
Yeah.
But you just need to put the time in and to learn about yourself. And yeah, some things aren't going to work. Some things are going to work, and hold on to those things that do work and get rid of the things that don't work.
Yeah.
It sounds simple, but yeah. it's not for a lot of people.
No, yeah. Because
they always want the next best thing.
They need someone to hold them accountable as well.
Yeah.
To like, some people know what they need to do, but they need some other third party to say that's the right path.
Yeah, they want that positive feedback as yeah. well a lot of the time. I think that's a big trap where I think a lot of people get into is they... if they're not getting that positive feedback, they struggle to move forward in their own goals.
Yeah.
And life, I think, isn't like that. And the sooner you can realize that, I think the more successful you're going to be.
Yeah.
You need to embrace that. You need to be able to give that feedback to yourself. Mm. You need to be able to set your own little goals, and you need to be able to hit those little milestones as your own positive yeah. feedback.
As your own kind of coach.
Yeah, I think like it's, yeah, cool. Like you go to a CrossFit gym or you go to a fight gym, you go to whatever. And yeah, you get that positive feedback here and there. But I think if you're looking for it too much, you're not going to be very successful.
Yeah, exactly. If you constantly need that someone to push you,
yeah.
like it's hard to find that 24/7 coach, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I think we went a bit off track there, but.
No, that's fine. And I think you want, to be honest, man, mine and your stories are very similar in terms of playing rugby union. We're getting smashed by Maldives.
Yeah.
We had to go to the gym now. Because like I was a scrawny white winger and I was just like versing all these big like Maldi boys and I'm like, I'm sick of getting smashed.
Yeah, that's a white New Zealand way. It's nothing new.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. So you were constantly trading, especially from like obviously high school and then your job, and then you're like, oh, army seems cool, I'm gonna apply, and then you were straight into it. How was training from the bodybuilding, functional bodybuilding towards more of the army training? Was it a tough transition or real quick?
Nah, so I think it's a little bit of a misconception when, you know, people want to join the army or go to the army is that training needs to be a specific way. Like what they do is they take people that have all different backgrounds, don't have any training or don't have any ability or may not have any ability or do have ability, and then they just baseline everybody. And then you all start training together and like doing PT together, and they build you up together in every aspect. So that's like training, weaponry, the whole lot. So when people come to me and say, how should I train for like the regular force army? I say, well, how are you training now? And they tell me, I say, yeah, probably just keep doing that. Like you don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything different, in my opinion. Yep. I didn't do anything different. If anything, I did less.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to train a lot of the time when I was in the army, especially for the first 3 months, basic training, like you can't train, you just get do what you're told.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest misconception. It's after that, when you look to move into special forces or something like that, that's where you can really isolate your type of training, like your pack marches and stuff like that. But yeah, in short, didn't really
change
anything. I didn't change anything. Maybe I actually chucked a couple more runs in.
Yeah.
Cause I knew I'd be running more, and I didn't, the only running I did was at like rugby training.
Yeah.
And I just started running a little bit more. Didn't change anything else.
Yeah, nice. And did you find it hard to transition into that lifestyle at the start?
Not really. I was again, like I had the goal to go in and achieve what I wanted to achieve, which for starters is basic training, get that out of the way. So I just adjusted as needed. Like I was training, I wasn't going to the gym anymore.
Mm.
You don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
You just don't, you're doing shit stuff for 3 months. You have to adjust. If you don't adjust, you don't last. So, yeah.
What were your goals within the army when you first joined up?
I was pretty honest with myself from the start. I didn't really want to be in the army for much longer than 4 or 5 years, right from the start. I wanted to get in, experience it, go overseas, come back, move to Australia.
Yeah. Damn, so Australia was always on that checklist.
It was always on the checklist.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I just wanted... You know, the army interested me. I've always, you know, liked traveling as well. I just thought, yeah, like I guess getting in there and potentially learning some skills may help me further on in life.
Yeah, right. And because obviously you're an armored vehicle personnel, yeah. right? Was that the job that you applied for originally?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. yeah. So signed up for that, got into that. Great decision.
What year was this currently when you were in?
2011.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. 2011. No, sorry. No, it wasn't 2011. Fuck, mate. We're talking 10 odd years ago now. I don't have the best brain at the best of times. Let alone 10. It was 2009.
Yeah.
2009 it was, yeah.
Right. Okay, sweet. So, like, it's everything's still happening in the Middle East, like...
Still, yeah, it's fucking kicking off still.
Yeah, yeah, kicking off, and obviously you were like, okay, sweet, like, I want to join the army, go overseas, then come to Australia. That was the plan. Did everything go to plan, or did things, like, kind of get off track at, during that process, or...?
I think in short, they did go to plan.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are a few road bumps on the way of getting overseas. Like, that takes time in itself. You've got to be in the army for X amount of time, and you've got to be able to prove yourself to go over there. And, yeah, like, as you can imagine, there's processes to get there. You've got to do, you know, post-deployment training, post-deployment fitness assessments, all these random little things. But in short, yeah, like it all went to plan, really. I went over there, went to Afghan.
What year did you go, and did you go Afghan and Iraq, or was it just Afghan?
No, just Afghan. Yeah, yeah, I did just one tour to Afghan, 2012. And at the end of that tour is when I pretty much put my paperwork in, and I said, yeah, sweet. And then I was in Australia 2 months later.
Damn, that's quick.
Yeah, yeah. So as you can see, everything's kind of like boom, boom, boom. I just move through pretty quickly.
And how was training for going to Afghan, like leading up to Afghan, during Afghan and post-Afghan? Like, what would that look like? Did you have a build-up to that? And what did that training look like in terms of strength and conditioning-wise?
Strength and conditioning, again, nothing really changed. Like, I think, again, it's a bit of a misconception, you know, you've got to be super strong, super fit. Yeah, it's very important to be super fit and strong, but it's not the be all end all. Ultimately, our job is to operate weapon systems and be proficient and be proactive and, you know, be disciplined and be onto it at all times. So, yes, I think the fitness side of things helps that, but the bigger picture is we need to be able to do our job, and the job isn't being strong and fit like a robot. Like, it's to be able to use those things to assist your actual job role. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So it didn't really change. Like, the only thing that really changed is our actual weaponry training, and we just upped that. Like, we just simulated firefights and things like that. Like, fitness-wise, yeah, not really much changed.
Yeah, that's interesting. In terms of, like, were you still, in terms of physical training, were you still on that dynamic, functional bodybuilding style training?
Yeah, I was. I hadn't, I didn't change anything.
Didn't change
the
anything.
Whole way through the army, I didn't change anything. I've always trained like that.
Yeah.
Like, I would always do supersets. So I'd be like, you know, bench press with pull-ups. And I'd be going like every 2 to 3 minutes, getting both the movements in.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 sets. Like, as heavy as I could, as many reps as I could. Next exercise.
Yeah.
And I would never really stick to a rep range. I'd always go off how I feel. 1 to 2 reps from failure every time.
Ah,
you know what I mean? So yeah, like,
yeah, yeah. So you always have those reps in reserve.
Yeah. So I would never go, all right, I'm doing 4 sets of 10. I do that a little bit more now, but back then I'd never be like 4 sets of 10. It'd be like, all right, 4 sets at 100 kilo fucking deadlift, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
And if 10 felt good, I'd keep going. Until I'm like, oh shit, I could probably do 2 more.
Mm.
And then I'd stop.
Yeah, right.
And then I'll do that with pull-ups as well. Get up and I'll do like maybe 1 set, I'd do 8.
Yep.
And then the next set, I'd do 10, depending on how I was feeling in that set.
Right. Well, did you have performance goals, or was it just kind of play it by ear at that time?
It was all play it by ear, man.
Yeah.
It was all play. I like to look good as well. And I knew that worked.
Yeah. How much volume would a workout look like for you during these times?
I think, you know, there'd be, if we put time in the gym, it'd be 1.5 hours in the gym probably, in a normal stock standard gym. And that would be in the 1.5 hours, you know, I'd get probably four different pushing movements in, four different pulling movements in, and then maybe a run or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing crazy. But the work was always very intense. Like it was, that's what I made sure. Like it was always, you know, 90% weight. It was always two reps from failure. And that was it.
And rest periods, would you go like more rest at the start and then just burn yourself out towards the end there, like minimum rest, or would you consistently have that rest period throughout your
set? I usually consistently have like a minute to a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Between sets. You're closer to a minute and a half, but then, you know, I might get caught up talking to someone at the gym,
yeah,
like in between a set. I didn't really care. Like,
yeah.
Just as long as that, after talking to that person, I got back on that movement. And again, like I was like, all right, I might be able to do more this time because I've had 3 minutes rest, but I'm still going to go two reps from failure,
yeah,
or one rep from failure.
And that just means more reps, right?
It just means more reps. Yeah, if I have more rest, it just means, okay, more reps now. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
so your intensity per exercise, per session is very high,
very
right?
Very high, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel for me, that worked really, really well. And then it obviously crossed over into CrossFit very well too.
Yeah, and I definitely want to have a conversation around that. But during this time with this kind of dynamic functional bodybuilding, what was your split like per week? Did you have a set structure of like days of doing certain things, or is it just play it by ear as well?
I would do the standard. I'd do push-pull usually, push-pull. But then I'd always chuck in like an arms day as well. Mm. Like that'd usually be my lighter days if I didn't have much time.
Yeah.
Just like some arms and then I'd always have just a full leg day.
Yeah.
So I'd do like two leg days a week and then it'd be push-pulls. It'd always be push-pull. I always did push-pull.
That's super interesting, yeah, because I think when I started, like I got on like a lot of like the old school bro science at the time. I was looking at the internet because when we were probably looking at that time, we had very minimum information.
Yeah.
Like there was a little bit of information on YouTube, but all I got was bro science, arms, back and biceps, chest and triceps. So I was doing that for ages. It wasn't until a few years in I heard about push-pull and I was like, and I think I was just so stuck in the way of that bro mentality of like, oh, really? Like, how are you going to hit your chest and back in one session? Because I would go into the gym and flog my chest.
Yeah.
And I'm like an hour and a half, 2 hours of going hard. And I'm like, how the fuck do you do push and pull? But going back now, now all I do is push pull legs. That's what I do.
Yeah, it's more volume, pretty much right? How I've always trained.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, in the earlier days, there was some isolation days. Like this was probably before I went to the army though. So when I went to the army that I started doing push-pull.
Yeah.
Just because I was less time. So that was the way I got more work into a session. I just couldn't find the time to be doing just all chest one day. It was just because I might have to miss a day the next day. At least on a Monday, if I could do push and pull and then miss Tuesday, at least I still covered push-pull here.
Mm.
And I can get legs on Wednesday and then push-pull again. Like if you're doing chest and then you miss back, then you're missing all your pulling movements, you know, like, and it's going to have detrimental effect.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you've molded it towards your new lifestyle, right?
Yeah,
that makes
sense. I think this is probably sound like a bit of a trend, but that's kind of what I've always done. I've molded it everything I do and everything I read and everything I've done to what suits me. I don't really care what anyone else does. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I don't care what I take things off what I read, but like I don't really care.
Yeah.
If it works for me and I want to do it, I just do it.
And at that time, conditioning was mostly on feet, like running and stuff like that. Yeah.
All on feet.
Yeah.
All on feet. No machines. I didn't even get on a rower until I fucking started CrossFit, I don't think. And see, I used to look at it and be like, I want to get on that thing. Stupid thing. I used to look at people doing it and be like, you know, like,
just go for a run.
Just go for a run. You know? That literally, like, I'd run. Yeah.
I think the same thing when people come to the gym and they just go on the treadmill to walk. I'm like, bro, like,
yeah,
do you need to pay $20 a week to walk?
Yeah, it's another thing though, but like, yeah. So no, I just used to run.
What was the facilities like when you were in, say, Afghanistan? Was it like a 6-month tour?
Yeah, I did a seven. Did a seven month. Good. We had three different levels. We had like Kiwi Base, which was like the main base, and that was good. That was like a full-on gym, like everything you ever need, everything you want, like perfect.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Spent very little time there. Then we had this base combat outpost, Romero, which was like all right. So it was like probably like a mining style gym, just with the basics. like a shit mining camp gym I'm talking about. So just the basics. So it was in like a plywood kind of hut.
Yeah.
Had like some back squat racks and some pull-up bars and some steel plates. And
still pretty good.
Yeah, it was still pretty good. So that was Outpost Romero. Spent majority of my time there. And then we had Ford operating base, Duwabi. So this was like in the middle of nowhere and we're in like a mud house, but we'd set a gym up and run other rooms. Mm-hmm. And we were doing like, we had like a bench press area that was, the bench was actually a bench, like a small wooden bench with some dumbbells. And that was pretty much it. We just had dumbbells and a pull-up bar.
Damn,
that I made sick. Out of an old that I made out of an old stretcher. Like cut the stretcher and took the fucking handle out the stretcher and then, you know, nailed it to the fucking a couple of poles. And
how many boys were in like a one of those mud forward operating?
Yeah,
places?
So probably about 15 to 20.
Wow.
Yeah, at a time. Yeah.
And how does that look? Like, obviously, me being a civilian, like, within Afghanistan, you have that Kiwi base, and then you have, like, a fort, like an outpost, and then a fort operating. Like, is that, like, three separate stages, and you get closer to the Kiwi base, it's more of a safer zone?
Yeah, that's 100%, sense? Yeah. The further you go out, the more dangerous it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And how long would you stay at one of those, like, mud stations for?
Yeah, 10 weeks we stayed there.
Yeah, right.
So that's what? It's a third of the trip.
Yeah.
And then the other... Then we spent another 10 weeks at Romero, which is like the middle area. And then I think, so that's what, 20 weeks already. Yeah, and then we spent the last, month or so at Kiwi Base, just at the end.
Right, so they put you straight on the outskirts, straight away.
Yeah, we got, just happened to be us. Yeah. We got put straight out into the fucking middle of fucking Badlands.
Yeah, right. How was that? Like those 10 weeks, how was that?
I went pretty quick. I don't know. Yeah. I can't really, it was all right. You don't really think much when you're over there. You do, but you don't. Like,
it's just training.
You're just
right?
training and doing your job. Like, you just, yeah, it's weird.
How was sleep and recovery and stuff like that? Because obviously, like, what we know now with science and recovery, like, obviously, you would have massive external stress, plus your training, physical training, sleep probably isn't the best.
Yeah.
How did you feel like out there over those 10 weeks, like recovery wise, like did you feel like you decreased in fitness or did you feel like you increased or like, what do you think?
Like because I had no real fitness goals when I was over there, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I just tried to hold a baseline of fitness to assist me with my job role.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to be doing was worrying about how much sleep I'm getting so I recover well. Like, and that's one thing that like, taking that mindset into this day-to-day life that I live now, like I look around and I see these people doing like 30 minutes to 60 minutes of stretching before they start their sessions and, you know, they're all fucking, you know, having to do all their post-training shit, like to the T. Like I think as a human, we need to be somewhat flexible so our body doesn't get too accustomed to those things, because when they're taken away from you, your body's just gonna stop. It's gonna give up. Like, or your brain's gonna give up because you're gonna be like, okay, like I can't do this anymore. Oh fuck! And that's gonna cause another external stress because you're stressing that you can't do your 1 hour of stretching before the session. So you know, I think that's benefited me. But in saying that, like I'm all for all the recovery stuff, like that people do, especially athletes. I think it's very important. But I think, you know, your day to day person just needs to be really, really conscious that maybe they should, you know, have a proper think about what they're actually doing and realize it's okay to do less of that kind of stuff and let your body just learn to be a little bit more resilient.
Yeah, a great analogy I heard from that is like you want to be a 4x4, not a Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
When like, because you could be eating the right things, training, sleeping the right things, but at the end of the day, if you're not getting paid to do that job, which is a professional athlete, why the fuck are you doing that?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I get it. Like some people want to live that certain way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if you do get into like Alex Hormozi, I don't know if you heard of him, but he's like a business entrepreneur. And he was just like, if you have to wake up and do a morning routine to get started to work, like that's a liability.
Yeah.
You know, because as soon as you remove that perfect process from your life, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, that's right. You need to be able to adjust.
Yeah.
And especially, like you said, if you're not a full-time athlete, because as we all know, life isn't fucking a straight line. It's got a lot of curves and roundabouts in it that you have to adjust to. And if you're putting so much time into your training that revolves around, like you said, routines, then when something that's out of routine in life happens, you can really, really struggle to adjust. And it's probably not the best way to be an effective human being.
Yeah, 100%, man. So in terms of, obviously training was a bit, you know, wasn't priority over there. When did you get involved with CrossFit, man? Mm. Like, when did you start hear about it and start actually doing it?
Heard about it when I was over there, 2012 CrossFit Games were on. I was lucky enough to have access to the internet at some of the camps. So learned about it through the internet. And then, as I said previously, wanting to move to Australia, I looked into places in Perth, particularly where I could do this CrossFit thing that I just found online. And yeah, when I moved over here, I went straight to Southern CrossFit and signed up and fucking started.
What made you attracted to it? Like, what made you think, fuck, I want to give that a shot?
I saw what people were doing and like being the standard guy and working and being relatively fit and confident in myself. I was like, fuck, I could do that. I reckon I could beat some of these guys.
Which as was, you do.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I was actually all right at, I was actually pretty like decent when I started, just from all the training I'd done previously. So in the way when we talk about Olympic lifting and things, though, I was rat shit, eh? I couldn't even like overhead squat a barbell. I was so tight.
What, like mobility?
Mobility wise. Yeah, didn't take long to break through that, but yeah. Like just being in that position overhead was just like the death. It was like being, I was being crucified.
Yeah, so you come back to Australia. Like obviously there was a 2 months kind of transition period to Australia, yeah. Perth. Then you went straight into Southern Cross. And like how long were you training there or training CrossFit before you started getting real serious at it?
I did like the first year was very much just test, adjust, get used to what CrossFit is, learn movements. And then after that, that was it. Just kind of wanted to go to regionals and go. We were very team orientated, so I wanted to go with the team. We had a really, really strong team. We had like, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys that could be in the team. Yep. They only take 3. We had like 6, 7, 8 girls. Like we were the best gym in WA, or almost in Australia at the time. So that was very attractive to want to be part of that. So it was like that was the drive to push me, as well as wanting to be better at it myself. So it's about a year till I decided, all right, I'm gonna fucking give this a red hot crack.
Yeah, do you feel like obviously because you did it within a team, like do you feel like going to the army had an impact of like that team mentality?
100%.
Like, yeah, I want to go.
Hands down. I fuck it, like my yeah, like that's I want you know, I don't want to let the team down for starters, and I know as a team, you know, humans perform so much better. Like everyone, like people that go individual, I get why they do it, but you know, 9 out of 10 people that I talk to that have transitioned to team say they enjoy team better because you get to share the experience and part of something. Yeah. I feel that anyway, like I think it's super important, and that's for the whole, I suppose, CrossFit way of training. I think that's why CrossFit has done so well, because it's very team orientated. And one of the main reasons why I haven't stepped fully away from CrossFit, but I'm not as attracted to it as I used to be, is because I feel that, not everywhere, but especially for people that are trying to get better, they move away from that team aspect, which used to be doing the WODs in the classes, doing strength and conditioning together, whether it be barbells or a strength cycle. Like that has moved away to a lot of individualized programming. And what individualized programming does is it takes away the team aspect. Yep. And you've got these people that aren't going to make it anywhere, sorry if that offends anyone, that are doing individualized programming and completely isolating themselves from what CrossFit was formed for, and that was working together as a team to achieve something greater.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion on how CrossFit has evolved.
I think you have the right kind of context. And to be honest, I think a lot of people would agree in a sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, people do have those individual
goals.
Of course,
and that's
feel like
fine.
They need like holes to the fill.
Yeah.
But like I like that idea of that concept of just like, yeah, I never heard of it like that before, if I'm honest, like that team cohesion, because I came in real late, if I'm honest, to CrossFit. And I think when I met you through CrossFit as well, I felt like that wasn't a thing. I felt like I saw a lot more people doing individual
things. Yeah, that's when you came in. That's when the shift was about when you came in.
Yeah.
Like when I started at RFX pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did a bit of individualized stuff as well, which, yeah, it does. If you've got those goals, like you said, does make people feel better about themselves. But I think as a whole, like I think it's not... know why I started.
Yeah.
So that's 100%. That's me though, you know, everyone else is different. But
I think have you ever heard of like 98 Gym over east? So what I really like about them is they're kind of, they have programming kind of similar to CrossFit but without all the wacky stuff like walking handstands and shit like that. Yeah. Like they don't really have Olympic stuff, but they have very similar style, like strength conditioning and WODs. But on Saturday it's game day and it's always team based.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I thought was really cool because when I did team based workouts, like I really enjoyed it. And I was like, cool, your strength's here, my strength's here. Let's work as one unit cohesion to get the best outcome for the team. Yeah. Right. And you do feel much better. And to be honest, I felt like it was a little bit easier to push through those barriers.
Yeah.
Mentally,
yeah.
Right?
When you've got a team. Yeah.
And I kind of saw that as like, is that a bad thing? Because it's like, if I'm working by myself in my garage, it's much more harder to do. And which I was like, maybe that is the best option. But obviously listening to you right now, I'm like thinking, well, you still push yourself harder within a team aspect.
Yeah, so I think doing both is important.
Yeah.
I've always done both. And like, I know I spoke to just then, you know, how important being in a team is. And it is, for me, a little bit disappointing to see some of, especially those, athletes that want to, you know, improve themselves, go to those individualized style programs, but to have a mix of both, I think as well, and understand that as a person, like is okay to do, is I think it's the right thing to do as well. Like you've just spoke to, like, I think some of the best mental resilience training I got was like just training on my own.
Yeah.
And just pushing myself as hard as I could, like just on my own. But then when I would work out with a team, I would go even harder again.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important, because you need to understand, one, you need to compare yourself against other people. It's how humans evolve. Not like, you know, looking at someone's Instagram and be like, oh, I'm not that person, fucking. Like, I mean like physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, how do you know if you're getting better if you're not gonna put yourself up against someone?
Yeah.
Like, so that's where the team
aspect
improves you as a person.
Yep.
Because you're able to compare and compete against someone. That's why CrossFit does well, and that's why people get better in CrossFit. Can't tell me everyone in a fucking CrossFit gym doesn't compare themselves. Right. That's what they say. You got these girls that are like, oh man, like, I don't give a fuck about what so-and-so's doing. I'm like, bullshit. What do you think you're on the leaderboard for?
The reason why I love, because I came from obviously bodybuilding, and my sister first started CrossFit, and I was like, bro, it was so funny, man. We had so much shit talk like about CrossFit. We're like, oh, that's gay, all this sort of stuff. And then like, I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And like, as soon as, like me in the gym with my boys and my guys, like we'll be lifting heavy. Oh, who can do what weight, right? So there is a competitiveness.
Yeah, right.
But then when I went to a CrossFit gym and I like scoped out, okay, this guy's about my size, he's my height, he's about my age, and then he would flog me in a workout. I'm like, okay, cool. Like I gotta do
but
this.
What that does is it sets like little goals for you, and that's how you improve as humans. That's when we talk about again the team aspect of a sport, an organization, whatever it may be. Without that, it's very, very hard to improve as a human.
Mm.
And that's why especially people that aren't gonna make it any further than the local comp, should probably think about jumping into class environments, working out with people more often to improve.
Yep.
Because if they just isolate themselves to their own individual program, like they're not gonna have a true measure month to month of how they're going, because they can't compare themselves to anything apart from their numbers that they have.
Yep.
But most of these people want to compete. So when it does get the time to compete and they do have to compare themselves against other people and they get beaten,
fucks with their head, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
There you go. You said it. And yeah. I see it all the time. And then they fucking hate themselves. And then it transfers over into their next workout against someone. And then that person that's been doing this stuff against other people smashes them again. Because they know how to compete.
Yeah, they know how to take
failure. Failure as well. That's right, because they've been beaten in a team environment.
Yeah, fuck, that's, I've never thought of it like that.
They've had the constructive criticism by their teammate, you know, like, that's how you have to look at it.
That's what I love about jiu-jitsu as well. It's exactly the same thing. Sure, like, first class I went to, got smoked by a girl. Like, she was a purple belt, though, don't get me wrong, and I've never done ground before.
Yeah.
And I was like, exactly the same. It took me back to that first CrossFit workout I did. And I was like, I got to learn this.
Yeah.
I got to do this. Yeah. Because like, if this person can do this to me, like, oh man. My first CrossFit workout was at Coburn. And it was like thrusters and bike cows as much as you can, as quick as you can. And like, I yacked in my first session and I was just like, I don't know why I came back, but I was like, I got to do this, man. Like, this is fucked.
But I think, you know, that sums up my thought on, you know, what works best for, you know, that style of training of CrossFit personally. Like, I am for the individualized stuff, but I'm not for it 100%. Yep. I'm probably not even for 80%. Mm. I'm probably for it about 70-30 is a probably good measure for it.
So, team to
Yeah, individual? So individual 70, team 30. So like utilizing about, you know, 70-30 for an individual athlete that wants to get better. Especially if they are, you know, not someone who's going to make it big, like, and they've got other shit going on in their life, because, you know, a lot of the time, you might not have the drive to go and do your individualized session, so that's where you jump in with a team.
Yeah.
And you use that team, and you use those people to make you better.
Where would you spend your time in the individual section? Would you be looking at, like, holds you need to feel, or more, was it more mental training?
I would spend my time in the individual area and holes I need to fill.
Yeah.
Strength cycles. Easy. Go into the gym, put a barbell on your back, do your squats, do your reps. I would spend it skill set training. Increasing, I suppose, rep ranges under fatigue, like muscle ups and stuff like that. You know, like rowing with muscle ups. It's easy to do. You set the clock for 5 minutes, 30 cal row, max set of muscle ups every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and roll through like that. Stuff that's controllable. Like, you can control the rep ranges, you can control the output, you're doing skill work, essentially. I would also spend some of it in, the WOD scene as well, but not all the time. Mm. I think that's very, very important to do with a team, because that's, like I said, where you can compare and you can push against other people.
Mm.
It's very, very easy for an individual to start a WOD on their own and just coast.
Yeah, 100%. You know what I mean?
Just
all the time.
Just coast. And they're like, but the thing is, in CrossFit, if you coast a massive workout, you're still going to get a good workout and you're still going to feel those endorphins. So you feel like you've done a good job. But I'm not next to you competing against you. So you don't know if you've done good or not. You just got the endorphins. So you feel good. So you feel like you've done good.
Yeah.
You know, someone comes and works out next to you and they kick your ass and then you don't feel good anymore because you haven't been doing that.
Yeah, right. Okay. That makes sense. And to kind of come back to it, like, obviously you first started, it was like a year to a year and a half you were thinking about regionals, is that correct? Like, what's the timeline looking like and your career journey?
So it was like 2 years I went to regionals, I think.
And how was that?
That was cool. Like, we missed out. It was cool, but we missed out by the games by one spot, which was pretty gut-wrenching.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Like, it was shit, man. It's the worst fucking sporting experience of my life. That's all I wanted to do, you know, go to the games as a team. And I think we missed out like 2 points, I think, which is like, we ended up being like one rep. One rep out of a whole team workout. So yeah, it was shit, man. It was so shit.
But at least you went as a team and you shared that experience with...
Yeah, people. Like, and I was, you know, I had bigger goals and stuff. Like, my goal wasn't to be like, you know, the greatest CrossFitter or anything. I wanted to just use it to build myself up as a person.
Yep.
As well, so...
Do you feel like when you say build yourself up as a person, do you feel like characteristics or like mental fortitude?
Fortitude, characteristics, experience.
Yeah.
Probably those three things.
Yeah. Yeah. I did notice that as well. Like, doing CrossFit in the WOD, like, you have to go to that next level in terms of barriers as well.
Yeah.
And it's obviously much easier, especially if you're a competitive guy like myself. Like, my whole life I've been competitive.
Yeah.
even now, like, if I'm going to do something and there's someone against me, like, yeah. I'm thinking, how am I going to beat them? Like, yeah. it's always that competitiveness. And I think when you put me next to a male, for example, like, I'm always going to be looking at what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like, I had to push those levels where in bodybuilding, I don't know, I felt like it was like, for seeing dudes, like, it's so easy to come in and drop off.
Yeah,
and
that's what I talk about, this individualized training, right? Yeah. And you're doing stuff on your own.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But yeah. it's easy to just coast sometimes, and no one's holding you accountable.
How'd you learn about all that stuff? Like, was it just your own self, or was it
Yeah, I think, mentors? Like, it was, yeah, I had some good coaches as well. They've been around since day one of CrossFit, you know, like, and then again, like, it's, if you're into fitness and you've been doing it for a while, you can learn off yourself again, like, how to become proficient at something if you're already pretty proficient. You're like, well, if I can do 10 muscle ups, how am I going to make 10 muscle ups harder? It's like, well, you put two and two together, I'm going to row 20 calories before it and do that 5 times every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, it sounds, for me, it doesn't sound like rocket science, but
I think it's, with the industry, man, there's so many rabbit holes that people go down.
Yeah.
Like, and it's super easy to get swept up. Yeah. Super easy. And yeah. I think a lot of people, like you said, if you need to get better at muscle ups, do the actions and then make it harder, yeah. right?
Where, like, I don't know. It just sounds so fucking simple, man. Like, for me, like, I'm just like, I don't really need to think about it too much. Even back then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, if I'm good at something, how am I going to make it harder to be better at that?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, let's just think outside the box a little bit here. I'll do something beforehand, maybe.
Yeah.
Go for a fucking 200 meter run.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, there's no rocket science to it. Like, there's no secret medicine. There's no pill that anyone can take that can make you better at that movement. It's just make it a little bit harder.
Mm.
Not stupidly harder so you fail, but enough so you improve and then make it harder again.
Yeah.
Like, it's essentially like life.
Yeah,
100%. That's how you get better at things. You practice and then make things harder and then get better at it again and practice and make things harder.
I think there's a lot of kind of like things where, like, say muscle ups, for example, or say skill work for jiu-jitsu or fighting or whatever, a lot of people can go down these tangents like, oh, well, if we look at aerobic capacity, if we're doing this and we're doing that, maybe hill runs will do it. It's just like,
yeah.
In my opinion, you should be looking at a general physical preparedness kind of baseline, kind of something that hits all realms, but unless you're doing the actual work or the actual skill work, you're not going to get 100%. Specifically better at some sort 100%. Of movement, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think too many people try and cover too many things to get better at one skill. But I think that's the biggest trap. Like you said, they go down all these rabbit holes to get better at something and they end up doing too much to try and get better at that thing and never get better at it.
Yeah.
Because they're following all these fucking he said, she said, and that's the downfall of social media.
100%.
People need to be more honest with themselves and understand what they need to do and look at themselves from an out-of-body experience or ask someone that knows them well and take that stuff on board rather than going down social media rabbit holes.
Yeah.
He said, she said.
I think, like, and it, what when I've obviously I've done a lot of mentorship with business and stuff like that, and I think there's a massive correlation or a link with one of my mentors and said to me, like, okay, what's the problem in your business? And I was like, oh, right now it's leads. And he's like, okay, cool, what are you doing about it? And I gave him all of these different things that don't have any correlation to leads. He was like, why don't you just get really good at getting leads? Like, why don't you just get good at this? And I was like, why is it so fucking easy when someone tells you like that? And then I thought about fitness and I'm like, oh, you want to get better at running?
Run.
You know, or like, you know, certain little things.
That's for me as well, like not being a full-time coach or in the fitness industry, and for a lot of, you know, my time while I've been in strength and conditioning, worked a job. That's what I've realized. It's the same. It's exactly the same. Like, and I think that it goes hand in hand and it helps each other out. You realize that to get better at something, you need to put the time into it, or to progress in your career, you need to put the time into it. To progress in your fitness, you need to put the time into it. I think a lot of the time people lean too far to one or the other. When we talk about career and fitness, a lot of people in the world lean too far to career and fuck's sake.
That's a good one.
Yeah, lean too far to career and then they forget about their fitness, and then same, too many people lean too far to their fitness and forget about their actual career or bigger picture. So understanding that it's very hard to do all of one thing and all of the other. You spoke to it before, is just having that general preparedness goes a long way to assisting both.
Yeah.
Because you're already almost fully prepared to do whatever. So then you can just work on little skills, little things to make both of those improve.
Yeah.
Together. That's how I look at it.
100%. And I guess like this kind of leads us into a really good segue in terms of like the last thing I want to talk about was you mentioned like people going down their career too far or going down their fitness too far. You're one of the dudes that I've constantly looked at and like, you know, you fly in, fly out, you do work, you're a busy guy, but you're still keeping high levels of physical activity and fitness. Like, obviously, can you explain a little bit more about what you do in terms of your career-wise, but also and also like your training and how you can you make it work?
Yeah. So currently, what I do for a job now is I work for a company called Minevere. So we supply mining technology to mining companies ultimately. So focusing towards the drilling sector. And my role is customer success manager. So I ensure that, you know, our clients across Australia, and Africa, are happy with the product. That comes through doing a couple of different things, which I won't really go into. There's not much point, but yeah, so that's what I do, which requires me to travel sometimes. Like I'm not FIFO anymore. I was for quite a few years. A while back, but now I'm not FIFO. I spend most of my time here in Perth now. But yeah, when I do go away, obviously I still train. And that comes in the way of how I've always trained. And I think that is, like we spoke to way back at the start of this, the high intensity bodybuilding functional style fitness. I don't lean towards having to get a CrossFit workout in or anything like that. I just go back to what I've always known and what I did in the army because I know it works.
Yeah.
And I've done it in shitty situations with minimal equipment.
Yeah.
And that's just like a lot of the time only having an hour and I just get in there and I just superset and I just get after it. And then maybe do a run at the end. Mate, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing special, but I just stay consistent with it.
Yeah.
I just stay really
consistent. Push, pull legs.
Push, pull legs, run, fucking get sweaty, get hot, feel like shit. Or not feel like shit, feel good, but like, yeah, make myself sweat, feel like I've done a tough thing and then stop.
Yeah, right. You hold a very high level of fitness, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I obviously seen you in the gym at Scrappy's, and you still hold a real high standard of fitness. Like, how do you still hold that fitness?
I think we have to talk about, like, what I've done for the last 10, 12 years, you know? Like, I have people say that to me all the time. They're like, oh, I'm like, man, I've been doing fucking fitness. Well, I'm 33. Yeah. I'm 34 this year. I started working out when I was 17, 16, and started high-intensity training. Like whether it was in the Globo gym or the CrossFit gym when I was 20. I'm 14 years ago almost. Like, I think the secret is to when you are in the gym, you work hard and you utilize that time that you've got in the gym to your full potential.
Yeah.
Like, and don't do too much in the gym in that time. Do enough and be happy that you've done enough and leave so you can recover. Because if you've got other external stuff, like you're at work or you're away on site or you're overseas, there's those external stresses that will start to wear you down as well. And you need to be aware of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that is what keeps me in good shape and keeps me fit, is working hard when I'm in the gym, but not doing too much and realizing that there's external stresses that will play into how my body recovers.
Yeah, it's a great point, man. And this is something that I've been kind of going back and forth in my own mind, which is like, you've got some people who say, always leave enough. There's like a saying, always leave enough in the gas tank. So if you need to get into a fight after the gym, you can do it, right?
That's
right. Some people who think, oh, you should redline yourself and then
It depends on what you're doing. Like if you, like for example, the weekend is a good example for me. Like I like to, you know, get up in the morning at Scrappy's and do the 7 a.m. strength and conditioning there, and I usually jump in with the boys. Like, and yeah, I'll try and redline there because I know I've just got Saturday. I'm not fucking doing anything. I'm just, you know, might go out for a feed or take the dog to the beach or chill, and like I don't have anything else on. But then if I'm doing a morning session before work, that mindset changes.
Yeah.
I still go hard. Don't get me wrong. I still go like 90%, but I'm not going to go to the point where I can't perform at work.
Yeah.
Because that's just as important to me. It's knowing how much to put in depending on where you're at and what you're doing. Like it's, and you don't know that unless you practice it again and you learn. You learn like how much to put in.
Yeah, I think that was a big issue that I had when I was doing CrossFit early morning. I would go the early morning, I would flog myself and then I'll try to be creative for 10 hours.
Bro, your brain wouldn't work, man. I've been
and
there.
I was literally like, I can't fucking work, man. I'm ready for bed and it's 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And so that's when I pulled the gears off and I was like, if I just do like a 45 minute kind of run or like a zone two, I feel fucking good and I can go for ages, right? So it was just trying to learn my body.
That's it.
But like you say, like on a Saturday when you go up, you know, you don't have to be, you know, you fucking redline. 100%.
You have to. Yeah. Then that's how you keep fit.
Yeah.
If I've, you know, if I've done a hard day at work or whatever, same thing applies. You know, I've had a lot of external stresses and my brain's tired. Like I just go in and move. But if I'm in there and I'm working out and I'm starting to feel good, then that mindset might change a bit and I might send it a bit more.
Mm.
But it all comes down to how I feel. And I think too many people get addicted to looking for that red line.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like they get addicted to the looking for the red line, and to actually get to that red line, they take stimulants, like caffeine, to get them to that red line. But what that does is it actually puts them in or has an adverse effect on them versus having a positive effect. The only positive effect that they're getting out of it is they're getting an adrenaline and endorphin rush after that workout, which makes them feel like they're doing okay.
Yeah.
But what's actually happening is they had a hard day at work, they take stimulants to get them for a workout and send it, and then it actually
cooks them.
Cooks.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, yeah, I think that's a really kind of interesting way to kind of play with it. And so with what you're doing now, you're at Scrappy's, you're doing skill work. What's your kind of average week look like now, man? Because obviously you're still doing strength and conditioning there, like you're coaching there a little bit there.
Yeah. So I work Monday to Friday. Sometimes I can work from home, which is nice. That's always good. It means I can just get up, eat, work. That's really nice. And then, I try and train 5 days a week. And whatever day that is whatever day that is. I just try and get 5 days in.
Okay.
5 days of training. That's it. I don't hold myself to any set days because I know shit can, you know, go pear-shaped.
Yeah, right.
And then just as long as I get my 5 days, whether that's morning, night, whatever, I make that work. And then I'm doing programming with another guy at Peachy for that whole gym as well, which is I do on the side. And then I coach the strength and conditioning at Scrappy for mainly, like, I think it's mainly the pro guys that come down and do this.
Yeah.
There's some others as well, but anyone's kind of invited to it. But it's hard. Like, it's not a session where we go and we talk about how to be explosive, or we go and talk about how to, you know, I don't know, do specialized strength stuff. It's all right, we're going in and we are trying to simulate a fight using strength and conditioning techniques.
Yep. Yeah.
D-balls, takedowns, running, assault bike.
Yeah.
Fucking kettlebell. Stand-up shadow box sparring.
Yeah.
You know, like in between rest periods.
Very similar techniques to say that muscle up analogy before. Fatigue them, go specific skill work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Works. It's not rocket science. Like, I think you hear a lot of fighters, well, not a lot of fighters, you see again on social media, like obviously I see it as well, when there's like people doing the specific strength work, explosive power work. I think it is important, but again, that needs to be done like in their own time if they have those little holes that they need to work on.
Yeah.
I don't think that needs to be a large part. I think a large part for a fighter needs to be fighting.
Yeah.
And that's
doing your job.
Doing your job. Like, you don't need to do 2 or 3 strength and conditioning sessions a week. Like, if you feel good on Saturday to come down and hang out with us at Scrappy and work out and do a strength and conditioning session, or like, that's what we call it, like, come down. But if you're fatigued from fighting during the week, don't come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't come. It's not your craft.
Keep the main thing the
main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Fuck. It is what it is, man. Like,
I think I've definitely gotten into that mindset of like, always trying to overdo things and like add things and like having that perfect week of, oh, I fucking missed my session here, I got to make up for it here.
No, it's just like, it doesn't happen like that.
I love
man.
That mentality. And I think a lot of guys from the army have that same thing. It's like, whenever you build a plan, it's never going to go 100%. You have to maneuver on the go as well.
Yeah, plan for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah, yeah. So you have like, your goals are like 5 sessions a week and then fucking whatever happens, happens, but that's the target.
Yeah, and but when I'm in the gym, I dictate my intensity of how I feel and how my day's been.
Yeah.
And if I feel good, I fucking go.
Yeah.
If I don't feel good, I just back it off and make sure I focus on something in that session. Like, okay, maybe I just want to move really well. I maybe just want to get hot and sweaty. Like, I don't care. Like, that's all right. It's still working out.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
And would those sessions be like, say you do striking class, would that be classified as a workout for you?
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't do anything. Like, if, when I jump in with the boys on at 10 a.m. or, one of the pro striking sessions or, you know, wrestling sessions, like, that's me for the day.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours, man, of just, like, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I have tried to do some CrossFit afterwards, and it's, I've learned now, the hard way, it's not good.
Yeah.
I'm like, I do like 1 minute of working out and CrossFit after that, and I'm like, oh, this is so shit. But that's what I mean. You got to draw the line.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's what I was doing when I was prepping for like jiu-jitsu competitions as well. Is like actually getting rounds in. That's my cardio, because cardio for jiu-jitsu and isometric holding is fucking so different from running or like a cross trainer or anything like that. Like, I've got guys who come into class and they are like running marathons, but then they can barely get through 2 rounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. That's when we talk about, you know, work on your craft.
Yeah.
Get better at your craft. The conditioning stuff that we do at Scrappy, it's going to help you with the little one percenters, you know? It's going to help you be able to mentally, like yesterday, for example, we're doing like assault bike D-balls, assault bike takedowns. That was the workout for 40 minutes. What we were making sure we did is once we got off the assault bike is we run to the D-ball and we pick the D-ball up and we chuck it over our shoulder. We run to the person we're taking down and we take them down straight away.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of discipline into what we're going to do during that workout. And that, and in this particular scenario, it was like, all right, let's get to the movement. Let's make the movement happen, because that's what you're going to have to do in a fight. You're not going to be like, fuck, I just, you know, finished a big scramble on the ground wrestling, and then I get to like put my hands on my hips and
have a break.
Like, you only just did 30 seconds on the assault. Run to your D-ball, pick your D-ball up and throw it over your shoulder. Then if you want to have a quick breather, step back, have a breather, then pick it up again. Like, we want to simulate everything that's going to happen in these situations.
Like, one battle at a time.
That's it. Yeah. That's another thing. One battle at a time. You try and do too much and you're not going to achieve anything. You're just going to fail. Like,
yeah, right. So that's fucking super interesting, like, concepts and mentality as well. I think I need to kind of take some of that into my training and not be so like anal with my training and looking at, because at the end of the day, I'm not a professional athlete.
Yeah, you see yourself.
And it's just like, I need to stop being so like anal about how everything needs to be structured, timing, recovery. Like, cause what's your thoughts on like Whoop and stuff like that?
Never owned one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know, like, other people that haven't never owned one. Like, I'll say Jack's name. You know, Jack Daly. I don't think he owns a Whoop. Like, look at the fucking guy. He's an animal.
He's crazy.
The motherfucker's always been an animal.
And he's so good with the nutrition as well.
Yeah, like, he does the basics.
Yeah.
Really, really well. He trains fucking hard. He eats well, and he holds himself accountable. But he also surrounds himself with fucking good people.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got his circle, he's got his gang that he hangs out with, and that's why he's as fucking good as he is, because he does everything that he needs to well, and he's always been like that, always been like that. When I first met him, when he was fucking 17, 18, straight out of school, like, that was what he was. He knew where he wanted to go, and he focused on what he needed to do, and that was become a better fighter, hone in his nutrition, be disciplined, and fucking, that's it.
Is he still doing his own nutrition?
I don't know, man. You have to ask him. I got no fucking idea. When we hang out, we don't talk about that stuff. We just talk about our kids do a workout.
I was speaking to Josh, and Josh was telling me, he's like, yeah, man, like, so-and-so was trying to give him advice on nutrition. Yeah. And like, Jack was thinking, bro, like, I do all this myself, man. Like, I don't...
He does, man.
He knows his body so fucking well, you know?
Does this sound familiar, like, what we've talked about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, just... This is what people need to realize. People need to learn about themselves. The social media and all that shit has taken that away from people, and they're always looking at what someone else is doing. Like, maybe take a little bit of advice from those people, but don't try and do them.
Yeah.
You're never not going to be them. Your life, you don't even sound like the motherfucker. Like, how are you going to act like the motherfucker? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be you.
Yeah.
And if you're not you and you're trying to be someone else all the time, you're never going to become the best version of you.
Yeah.
Like, you never, because you're always trying to be someone else. Yeah, it's fucking...
that's true. I fucking like that.
you're not.
What about your nutrition, like, standards or your ideas about your nutrition? Like, how do you tackle your nutrition currently?
Just trying to eat clean.
Yeah.
And I eat lots.
Yeah.
I eat lots. Mm. So much. Like, I don't... Again, I relate it to my training. I don't have, like... You know, I need to eat this many calories, that many calories. I eat till I'm full.
Yeah.
And then when I'm hungry, I eat again.
Yeah.
I eat till I'm full. And then when I'm hungry, I eat again. But I make sure I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then if I'm hungry in between that, I'll just have, like, a healthy snack, like a banana or a protein bar. And then if I feel like having something, like a piece of cake, I'll have a piece of cake. Because yeah. I want a piece of cake. Because I'm going to go burn it off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather be, you know, at a higher, or what's the opposite to deficit?
Surplus.
Surplus.
Yeah.
A calorie surplus than a calorie deficit. Let's just look at it like that. Because I know I'm always going to train.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to train and burn that off at some stage. And I need those calories to train. So I need to make sure I eat. And that's, again, it's just, for me, it's just, and I wish more people could just understand, just think like that and do that. Fuel your body properly and everything will work out.
Yeah. Eat clean.
Eat clean, train.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Food in, or calories in, calories out, calories in, calories out.
Has it ever been about, like, how you look? It's been more about performance for yourself and how you feel. Is that?
Yeah, what comes with performing well is, like, looking good.
Mm. It's a byproduct.
It's a byproduct of it.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah. But if you're not eating enough calories, it's going to take you longer to look good anyway, because you're going to hold fluid, and you know the drill, man, you're going to hold fluid, your muscles aren't going to develop, you potentially have an injury that sets you back, that stops you from getting to a position where you look good, like that. Not eating enough is going to have a huge impact on everything else. So
yeah.
I don't follow any nutrition or any diet. I just, again, just go off how I feel. This is just like testing and adjusting, like it's, I don't know.
Just see what works for you.
That's it. I think that's the biggest thing to take away.
All right. Finn, you're a legend, bro. I really appreciate your time.
No, all
giving
good.
Me your time, man.
Yeah.
So what? You're training at Scrappy's. So if anyone's come down and get flogged by you on a Saturday morning, go down to Scrappy's.
Yeah. You know, if you want to come down and have a go at 7 o'clock, then jump on in. You know, it's not easy though. But yeah, if you want to, I suppose. I don't do any individualized program or anything like that, so I don't get any ideas. Fuck. Go to Luke.
You still coaching at Peachy's? Or?
Yeah, I jump in when they don't have a coach for a class or something.
Yeah.
I just, you know, over the years, I've just figured out that my time's very important to me as well. I spent so many years trying to not please people, but like do stuff for people.
Yeah.
And I learned that that's not always the best way to do things. So now, I want X amount of time for myself, and coaching takes that away.
Plus you got a family as well.
Oh, yeah.
You got priorities at the moment.
Yeah. It's a juggle.
Bro, I appreciate it, man.
No, all good.